God. Friends, today I want you all to learn four words. Just four. Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda. Say them with me. Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda. I know Latin is an unusual language for a Presbyterian or any church in the Reformed tradition, but these words, Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, communicate an ideal that has influenced many. Translated, the word Ecclesia means church, Reformata, reformed. All of the current and former Marines here know the word semper is always, and reformanda sounds like reformata, but it's a little different because it switches to the passive voice, being reformed. Put all back together, Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the church reformed, always being reformed. The origin of this phrase is disputed. Some argue it goes back to the 4th century bishop and saint Augustine. Others have probably misattributed the words to John Calvin. In the 20th century, they became a motto of Swiss theologian Karl Barth. But today I want us to focus on Jacobus van Lodenstein, a minister in what we would now call the Dutch Reformed Church in the mid-1600s. Van Lodenstein used the phrase in a devotional book to talk about his own church, a church that, like our own Presbyterian church, was heavily influenced by John Calvin, and one that was, even then, facing challenges and change from within and without. Van Lodenstein's church was a few decades beyond their Catholic past. They had adopted a mode of worship broadly similar to what we use here today, although they might not have had an organ. That was a live controversy at the time, one that, in fact, lasted for some 200 years. Well, it's not there anymore. There used to be a little framed card there against the wall that told of how, in this congregation, the first time we tried to buy an organ in the 1890s, we were blocked by the presbytery. These sorts of challenges are things that were on Van Lodenstein's mind as he wrote in 1674, near the end of a long career in ministry, but the nature of music and worship and other external and structural changes was not what was first on his mind. Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the church reformed, always being reformed, is not only a statement about the external structures of the church. Yes, building projects may feel constant. I know they do for those on the property committee. And at many times in the church history, we have faced other threats, external change, and a natural impulse to feel like we are doing something. Many congregations decide that is the time to renovate, to add a new building, to anchor their present state in brick and mortar, in stone and plaster. This is a long, storied tradition in the church, one which may have originated with Peter in today's gospel lesson as terrified by the unimaginable majesty of God's presence on that mountaintop, faced with Jesus in blinding white clothes, talking to Moses and Elijah, overhearing their conversation, and then hearing the voice from the heavens. Peter's first impulse is to build something. Peter wants to stay on that mountaintop. Peter, having just seen Jesus, Moses, and Elijah together, overhearing their conversations, believes that his faith is now complete. Maybe he is remembering that Moses went to the mountaintop at Nebo near the end of Moses' journey. He knows from scriptures that Elijah's return heralds the coming Messiah, and having borne witness to this moment on the mountaintop, believes more confidently than he has ever believed. If the point of religion is the destination, if the end goal of our faith, of Christianity, is the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of God, then Peter is finished. His race is run, his journey complete. To the extent that the church relies on Peter, Ecclesia Reformata, the church is reformed. Of course, neither our four words nor the gospel ends at this moment. Both continue onward. Jesus, Peter, James, and John leave the mountaintop. Their journey continues. Semper Reformata is sometimes translated as always reforming, but that is inaccurate. The Latin verb is not the gerund or present continuous. It is instead the passive voice. And because the intent and implication is that God is the actor of that passive verb, this is an instance of the divine passive. God is always working on the church, is always calling the church into a better version of itself. The perfect, complete church does not exist in this world because the perfect version of ourselves does not exist in this world. The church, after all, is not this building. It is not the houses Peter wanted to build on the mountaintop. It is not our denominational structures. It is not our creeds, our prayers, hymns, scriptures, or sermons. The church is each and every one of us. Ecclesia Reformata, semper reformanda, the church reformed, always being reformed, is another way of saying that the life of faith is about the journey. I have met many church-going people who believe that the life of faith is a binary condition, that being a Christian is something you either are or are not, that faith is something you have or lack. I know many people who believe you either know Jesus or you need Jesus. There was a time when I also believed in this binary condition of faith, but this is what Van Lodenstein was warning us about with his four Latin words, Ecclesia Reformata, Semper Reformanda. God is never finished with us. Our faith is never complete. I now realize that if I know anything about Jesus, it is that I need Jesus. I look also at our Hebrew text this morning. Elijah, in the first book of Kings, led a massive religious movement and a shift in the northern kingdom. At times, single-handedly, Elijah restored the Israelites' faith in God, even as the political leadership was attempting to reorient the kingdom toward the Canaanite idols. In our text today, as we are approaching the time when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, he and his apprentice, Elisha, are traveling together. They set out from Gilgal when Elijah asks Elisha to stay behind because the journey to Bethel is long. Elisha declines to stay and continues with Elijah to Bethel. When they arrive, they are greeted by the company of prophets, the outpost of the faithful that Elijah established there, much like Paul later established churches throughout Turkey and Greece. The prophets there tell Elisha that this is the day when God will take Elijah. Elisha responds, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elisha knows the destination. He knows that each of these stops is just a waypoint on a longer journey. Elisha knows the destination is not the point. Elisha's call like Elijah's before him and Moses before him and like John, Jesus, the disciples and Paul to follow, and yes, even like God's call to us is a journey. It is a path to follow to help us, ourselves, and those around us who we may influence by word and example, that we all might come closer to a destination that we may never reach in this life. Elijah again tells Elisha to stay behind, as God has now sent Elijah to Jericho, but again Elisha follows. And again, on their arrival, the company of prophets tells Elisha that Elijah will be taken, and again Elisha says, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Again, Elisha knows what is to come, but knowledge and belief are not the point. The point is the journey. It is the process of following Elijah in this world that equips Elisha to succeed Elijah among the companies of prophets he established. Again, they set out now to the Jordan, where something different happened. Some of the men from the company of prophets came along as well this time, following at a distance, where they see Elijah take his mantle, his cloak, roll it up, and strike the river, parting the water with it just as Moses parted the sea, and Elijah and Elisha cross the river together. Now the pattern changes. Elijah no longer tries to send Elisha away. Elijah's ascent is near, and instead they speak of Elisha's future. What will Elisha need in the time to come? What would Elisha have as a parting gift? He asks for a double share of Elijah's spirit, an extra helping of faith, because even with everything Elisha knows, with everything Elisha has seen and learned, following Elijah, the work is never ending. Semper reformanda, we are always being reformed. Our text ends with Elisha tearing his clothes as he watches Elijah ascending a whirlwind to heaven. But Elisha's story does not end there. As Elijah is taken up, he drops his mantle, the cloak he had rolled up to part the river. Elisha picks it up, puts it on, and returns across the river to continue his journey, to continue being reformed. Our own faith journeys are never complete. The church is not called to be a gathering of people who have already figured everything out. If we believe it is, we are missing the point. And if we believe we have that perfect and complete faith contained within ourselves, we are deluded. Thankfully, God is ever calling us beyond ourselves, beyond the river, further down this path, that we, like Elijah and Elisha, like Jesus, Peter, James, and John, like Paul and Timothy, might travel together, celebrating each other in success and supporting each other through the rough patches that will always come. Ecclesia reformata, semper reformanda. Thanks be to God.